your home of loud, loud intro music and soft, soft opinions. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Man, how you doing?
Good.
Good, good, good. Did you hear what I just heard on the intro there before us?
Something about wrestling?
That's exactly what I heard too. Something, 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 pro wrestling.
Did we start a trend here at WDRT with sports and
I need to do some research. I'm not sure. We're going to have to do a little playback and find out what exactly happened, because I'd like that guy to be sitting next to.
Yeah.
I'd like that to happen in our morning, too.
Seems a little high energy.
I like it. I dig on that. That is a good Friday feeling. I like it. Man, what a nice day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weather check.
It's happening. It's beautiful outside. Yeah. It's going to stay like that maybe all weekend. I don't know.
It's supposed to rain all weekend.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you. Nailed it.
Well, when you get water in your basement after it rains, you kind of go, okay, what's the weather going to be? So I need to prepare myself.
You know, I do. That is one of those things around here where you have to become kind of an amateur weatherman, because you know how much rain is too much rain for either your garden or your basement.
Anything over 3 inches is going to be not good.
Hey, sports.
Hey.
What happened?
I mean, some stuff.
Some stuff. Perfect. No, I have written down some stuffs.
Right here. Yeah, you got a few things on there.
Yeah, that's on here. That's
a few things.
That's a few. That's a large few. Nine.
Are the Brewers on that?
They are. They come in at number 3.
Oh, wow. There you go.
I'm going to start out talking about the Boston Celtics winning a championship, only because I'm a big fan of championships, not because I'm a fan of the Boston Celtics. I mean, they're one of those you could make a pretty short list of least favorite, or teams that are your favorite to root against.
Right.
Other than locally, like very easily, you know, the Bears or that other team across the Vikings. There they are.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Minnesota Gophers or Michigan, right? Like Michigan Wolverine. Boston Celtics, really, or Yankees, really do, I feel like, nationally fit in that easiest Lakers, easiest teams to hate.
Sure.
Cowboys, I feel like, are hit that list. But they won their 18th championship over the weekend.
Against who?
The Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, they didn't look good at all.
They really did not. They looked like a team that won, you know, 55 games in the regular season and caught a heater in the playoffs, but Boston just looked better. Every part of their team.
Boston proved to be, I mean, legitimately the best team of the year, and there they are.
They were constructed to win a championship. Yep. They put the players in the right place to win, and then they did it. So I guess that, you know, that in itself is an accomplishment, like being the best with a target on your back all year. But also it makes you realize, like, just how important roster building is in the NBA, because lots of teams, that you're either trying to get the number one pick in the NBA or you're trying to win a championship.
Right.
Anything else just doesn't work. It doesn't play well for your fans. It doesn't do you any good. Teams like the Bucks and the Phoenix Suns failed really, really strongly in this giant roster build of a thing. The Boston Celtics did not. They added guys like Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, Derek White, all players who played huge roles in winning a championship, and they went out and did it. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were the best two players in the series. I don't know who's better.
Jaylen got MVP, I believe.
That feels right. Yeah, no, he's impactful. Whether Jason Tatum was better, you know, in the team, in the moment.
I think Jason scored, 30 points and 10 rebounds or something like that, or 10 assists in the final game, which is, I think, they said fifth or sixth of all time.
Sure.
Yeah.
That feels right. And watching Jason Tatum, he's just got a really natural feel to his game. Jaylen Brown is strong, loud, plays defense, and, you know, so that team won their 18th championship. Everybody can chase them once again.
Al Shepard got one finally.
Al Horford. That's okay. Al Horford played on one of my favorite all-time college basketball teams. They won back-to-back championships in college, a team with him and Joakim Noah.
How many teams has he played on?
Oh, you know.
A lot.
I know he started with Atlanta, and then he's gone to, I'm going to skip a few in there. I cannot think. I think he's played for like 4 teams. But yeah, he's played as long as LeBron James has played, give or take. He's been around a very, very, very long time. And yeah, he won. So yeah, way to go, Boston Celtics. You know, it's one of those, they also have a team that's going to run it back exactly this way next year.
Hawks, Celtics, 76ers, Thunder, Celtics, Cavaliers,
there you go.
Pacers, and Mavericks.
When you have a 19-year career, you are bound to play for almost anybody for a few games. Yeah, so yeah, I mean, I didn't realize he'd gone that long without winning a championship.
Started playing in 2007.
Wow. Yeah, no, I remember those teams. I remember him in college really liking his game. And, yeah, so Celtics next year, the Bucks can I don't know, can't do much because the Bucks are going to be exactly – they're going to run it back next year too.
Right.
But so now the official –
I mean, it would have been different, I think, maybe, if Giannis was healthy.
Sure.
You know, but once again, for the seasons you have, I mean, you got to be healthy.
I mean, as a Bucks fan, the last 5 years have had that sentence attached to it, which as more times than they've – it's worked once. They won a championship. The other many years in a row, when you're relying on guys to stay healthy for an 82-game season plus a playoff run, you're seeing why load management, the NBA talks that the players' union wants to get down to like 70 games because they really only want to play about 70 games a year. So your best players playing 55 games is almost acceptable anymore, which is wild to me because in no other sport does that work. In the NFL, nobody's taking a week off.
Well, but you only have 17, 18.
Maybe the end of the season. You're taking the last game off, but you've never seen a starting quarterback sit week four to rest up for week five.
But it's different, though. I mean, it's...
Okay.
Well, I mean, you got one game a week.
Correct.
But, you know, NBA, sometimes they're playing like three games.
You'll hit that three, or you'll play four games in 8 days and some, you know, 10
That's
days.
It's a lot.
It is. It's a lot of travel, a lot of back-and-forth travel.
It's like baseball.
It is very similar to baseball. And in baseball,
do they rest? I suppose. Do they rest?
Pitchers once every 5 days. I mean, a guy like Willem Contreras for the Brewers has been the starting catcher or the DH in all, but I think two games because he got hit in the head over the weekend on a game saving sliding out. Oh. That was a fantastic play at the plate. Okay. We'll get there.
Okay.
It's in the list.
All
no.
Right.
So load management is much different in the NBA, but the Bucks are. They're just said when you're gambling on guys to stay healthy every year they get older.
The 76ers all that.
Yeah, every year they get older, they're one less year away from being a healthy player. So, Celtics are the favorites going into next year, and that's the end of the NBA season except for the draft.
Well, one more thing too.
What else? What else you got?
Lakers football.
Oh yeah, of course. That's what tells you the Lakers are that sports franchise, you know, like you know them, even if you're not a sport, you know the Lakers. The Lakers fired their coach, former Bucks player and assistant coach Darvin Ham, was fired after having a fairly unsuccessful season with the Lakers. The Lakers hunted around briefly. They tried real hard to get Danny Hurley as their head coach on a 6-year deal. He's the best coach in college, so why not throw it out there? They ended up settling into J.J. Redick.
It was kind of a gamble.
Big gamble. It's a big old gamble. J.J. Redick.
What everybody's saying is a high-risk, high-reward kind of a guy because he's a very smart.
Very smart Duke graduate.
Yep.
2 years removed. He's 40. Yeah, 2 years removed from playing in the NBA. Does a podcast with LeBron James.
Really?
Yeah. Coincidence? Probably not. Is an NBA analyst for ESPN. Seems, by all accounts, to, you know, be... knows what he's talking about. I don't know. I have no idea how that translates, right? Like, it's. I think about it in my job, or you know, like if somebody came to your job who just knows about your job, knows it, talks about it all the time, and now is doing your job and is in charge of you. I don't know how that works. You know, I don't know how NBA players work. I don't know how egos get set aside. I don't know how, as a player for the Lakers, you couldn't assume that every decision that J.J. Redick makes is LeBron James saying it in his ear. They share a pod. They're friends. They're the same age.
Right.
So that's an interesting hire. He's getting a 4-year deal versus the usual, you know, it's a 6-year deal. But he's a first-time coach. He's never been an assistant in any capacity.
No.
He's never been a head coach in any capacity. So it's a very – it's an interesting high-risk, high-reward hire. It also tells you that the Lakers to the NBA world, to the basketball world, aren't that big of a deal. Looking at their cap space and what they can do as a franchise is much more important than the name Lakers.
Right.
Because they were not able to just say, hey, we're gonna hire you know, and they're like, if you're a coach, that feels like a destination job, right? Like
but it's not a great and not right now at this point. Mm-hmm. Who would want that?
Well, it makes you wonder that if the Lakers are not a destination job, is there a destination job in the NBA? Is there some franchise in the NBA that you'd be like, well, I'll drop anything as the Duke coach, as the whomever coach,
right,
because you want to go there? Kind of like, I don't know if that exists anywhere in pro sports anymore.
I think there's so much parity now, and all, for the most part, most of the teams are really good. I mean, decent at least.
Or are at least a step away from being relevant and good.
Right, right, right. I mean, right now, Minnesota job's looking good, you know?
Sure, yes. You
know? The Knicks would be one of those places I think would be more historic.
Yes, okay. Know? And again, they haven't won a championship since, yeah,
'90s.
Yeah, very long time ago.
Yeah. The problem with the Lakers is they're kind of a hot mess.
And have been since, I mean,
LeBron James got there.
You can trace it all the way back to when they had Phil Jackson on their team. They had a dream team of like Karl Malone and Gary Payton and Shaq and Kobe at the same time, and they didn't win a championship. Phil Jackson retired, and it's just been a fun little spiral. It's a thing where the owners keep trying to, it's like a Jerry Jones thing, where the owners are trying to be the front and center, when the owners don't, the owners are not professional sports people. They are professional owners of sports franchises.
Just write the check.
When they stop just writing checks and start doing and being front and center, it doesn't generally seem to work. So yeah, the Lakers aren't the Lakers of the 70s. Magic Johnson's not walking through that door.
No, but he has an opinion about it. But JJ Redick is one of those, I think, with like we said, high risk, high reward. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more, I think they're fine. They're going to have to is go long term.
Sure.
You know, what's life for the Lakers look like after LeBron? Because LeBron's maybe got 1 or 2 years left.
Correct. Well, the Lakers have a chance in the NBA draft coming up this weekend to really, really put a bow on this LeBron James to the Lakers thing, because they have a chance to draft LeBron James' son, Bronny James.
Right.
So you really have the opportunity to have a legacy with the Lakers and in the NBA like nothing else, like no one else has ever done. So it's an interesting spot LeBron James finds himself, that he can, what he can do to a franchise, for a franchise.
Right.
Because now his buddy and his agent has three other guys on the Lakers who are under his agent.
Sure.
So it really has become, for since
it's LeBron's team.
It has for a real long time. Like, yeah. I said, since Yes. Yeah. This is the fourth coach that LeBron James has played against that has now become his head coach, which is, I guess when you play for 20 years, that was bound to happen.
Right.
But none of those guys are his current coach, which means at some point he's gotten his buddy fired.
Right.
So, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch for the Lakers for the next, when they lose three games in a row, when they're sitting at, 3-7, when they're sitting at, 38-35, and they're not winning championships.
What happens? I don't think it's not going to this. That's not going to be all on JJ Redick, though. That team itself is just not.
Yep.
Once again, we talked about it. It's building that bench depth. Mm-hmm. And they don't. They just don't have the pieces.
The NBA has in the NBA, building your depth is the hardest thing to do as a franchise. Building, hitting on a first round pick, making the right trades. Boston did it correct
twice.
They did. That's something to say. Is Boston, when they won with their big three of Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, many 20 years ago, they turned those resources into a trade to the Nets that has resulted in them getting back to an NBA championship. That one of the picks they traded to New Jersey became Jaylen Brown.
Oh, sure.
They made a trade. They had the number one pick traded down to the number three pick to draft Jason Tatum. They've done it the right way.
Also they didn't draft Jrue Holiday, but I mean they added pieces.
Yeah,
that complement him.
They gave up a first round pick to Portland for a guy who is the lead guard on a championship team. So yeah, that is doing it the right way. That's the end of the NBA stuff
Yeah. Was there?
Well, yeah. I mean, the NBA draft coming up this weekend. There's a couple things worth noting. It's a 2-day event, which if you're a fan of, analysts talking for hours and hours about things and players,
they have no idea about
grainy footage of second division Serbian league,
like
teams.
Andre Sarr of the Perth Wildcats in Australia.
Correct. That's what does make the NBA draft so much different from every other draft. Is I you have to really, really try hard to find out stats and highlights about a guy like Alex Saar, who's going to be a top three pick in the NBA draft this year. He's a 7-footer from Australia who, like most 7-foot players playing in an Australian league, are raw and need time to develop, but incredibly talented-looking defensive-type center. Donovan Klingon from Connecticut is another big man. He's more of a traditional center. He'll be drafted really highly. Whom else?
Reed Shepard.
He's a guard from Kentucky.
Right.
Shooter. He's a guy that you should be able to plug right into a lineup as a shooter.
Freshman.
Well, that's just it also. In the NBA draft, if you're 21, 22 years old, your experience isn't considered a plus.
Yeah.
In you know, by the fourth, fifth, sixth round of an NFL draft, your experience really matters. You want a guy who's a 5-year starter, right?
Sure.
A guy who's played all the positions, who's seen a lot of coaches, because that translates to the NFL. In the NBA, if you've stayed till your junior or senior year or had an injury that made you miss a year, there's a real good chance you're not going to get drafted. You're going to have to sign as a free agent, because they're looking for 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, or they're looking for just obscene freaks of nature like Zach Edey. Zach Edey is 7'4" and 280 pounds. Will enter the NBA with a role ready to go. Like, he will always be really tall. He can catch passes and rebound. He'll never be fast. You don't have to project very far to see what a guy like that will do. So that's kind of interesting. Like I said, Bronny James has the opportunity. He only worked out for two teams. He worked out for his dad's team, the Lakers, and his and the Phoenix Suns,
right,
which is another spot where a guy like LeBron James could comfortably go play for a year. It's not far from home.
I think they have the cap.
They veterans minimum. LeBron James has the opportunity to sign a contract for the absolute minimum that veterans are allowed to sign for. He's made, I assume, a good amount of money that he's saved a few ducats away here and there. LeBron has that he can play. The veterans minimum is right around $10 to $12 million. And if teams do their salary cap correctly, nearly every team has that available to them. So in theory, he could go to anywhere he wants. So a team could really just decide, you know what?
Yeah, but he's a businessman.
We're going to roll the dice, and we're going to draft Bronny James, and then we're going to use that to recruit LeBron James, because every team could use a LeBron James. LeBron James would love to play with his son. That's some interesting leverage that a
Lakers
team would
will probably
have.
Grab him in the second round.
Oh, they've got the pick at the end of the first round. They've got a 28th pick, something like that, in the first round, where they could draft him. And 28th pick in the NBA draft, really, you're throwing darts. You're really just, you don't know. So you draft LeBron James' son, because that's a nice little risk to take. So that'll be happening. I think it's Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday. I usually end up watching the first few, dozen picks, because they're names I know, but eventually by about 9:30 at night, I can usually turn that off and just catch up in the morning. And it's a 2-day event. So, okay. That is basketball. What else happened? Willie Mays passed away this week. Willie Mays is he was 93 years old. He is unarguably one of the top three baseball players of all time. When he retired, he was leading in, he was top three in home runs and stolen bases and doubles and batting average. He won 12 gold gloves. He finished with a 300 career average, 24-time All-Star. 24 times.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Signed right out of high school with the Giants. The day after he graduated high school, he signed with the Giants and had a 24-year career. On both coasts, yeah, that's correct. There was the New York Giants, and then he moved over to San Francisco. Was for the San Francisco Giants. Yeah, he had one of the greatest careers of all time.
You probably would have had more home runs if the San Francisco the field there is just
correct.
Kind of not very nice.
Yes, no, that is correct. And back in the early days of baseball stadiums had some real interesting dimensions to them, because they were fit into wherever places.
Right.
They literally were parks. So he also spent 2 years in the Army. Just like tons of players of his generation, lost a good chunk of the prime of his career for that. 660 home runs.
A lot of people consider him the best.
It's hard to not rank him as the best of all, better than Babe Ruth, yes. Better than Hank Aaron? Yeah, probably. You have to look at guys who played in the 20s
sure.
and 30s to make comparisons to how good Willie Mays was. He set records with doubles and triples that weren't touched for 40 years.
Sure.
It took 40 years for players to hit as many doubles, triples, and for average as he did in season. So yeah, Willie Mays.
Did it take steroids to do that?
And that's exactly. I didn't want to have to point out that his 660 home runs were natural. They were.
Right.
They were the result of, he was a 5'10", 170-pound guy. They were a result of hard work and doing it the right way in theory. Because the people who have passed him since all have an asterisk next to their name.
Yep.
Willie Mays is the ultimate not asterisk next
sure.
to his name. Passed away 93 years old. That was a. He's any of the my generation's my favorite players. They were Willie Mays was their favorite
right.
player. So
right.
That was a big loss to the baseball community.
Okay.
What
Jerry
else?
Jerry West.
And Jerry West too, Mr. Basketball. The
guy that's on the logo.
The literal bat logo on the NBA. The guy holding that ball. That's Jerry West. Jerry West was a player for the Lakers. I don't know if he played for anyone else towards the end of his career,
maybe.
But he played for the great Laker teams. That really put the face of the NBA, that transitioned them from a black and white league to a primetime league. Jerry West was a multiple time all-star, steals, assists, all the championships, all these things.
Pretty good executive, too.
Also an executive for the Lakers and
Clippers?
The Clippers and Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, there you go.
He was an advisor, yeah, up until he passed away. He was, I think, 88, 89 years old. He was an advisor. Just a basketball lifer was one of those really, you know, Mount Rushmore of the NBA. So, yeah, that's right. That happened this week as well. Let's see. Yeah. Well, that is it. As far as real sports go, that's about it. We didn't touch the Brewers yet, did we?
No, go for it.
Oh, they're 44-31.
Oh, good job.
They are. Yes, thank you. They are 6.5 games up in first place on everybody in the NL Central. I think the Cardinals finally got to 500. The Brewers are 6.5 games up on everybody.
Yep. Cardinals are 500.
Josh Gasser, who had pitched really, really well. He was injured a week or so ago, hasn't pitched. He's getting Tommy John surgery.
Mm.
Add that to a very long list of Brewers pitchers who are going to miss the entire year, if not, and next year. It's a 12-month injury. So they are really cobbling it together with random people. And I'm going to, once again, Colin Ray and Tobias Myers.
Colin Ray?
Colin Ray.
Wasn't he a country artist?
That feels accurate. You would know as a country as a country DJ. You would know this. He is the he's a 33-year-old unsung hero for the pitcher for last year for the Brewers. He was pretty good, injured a little bit, but you know pretty good. This year he's pitched as well as every pitcher on the Brewers. He's been their best player, best pitcher at least. Freddie Peralta pitched a really good game. The other pitched 6 scoreless, played really really well. Been seeing a lot of multiple, like getting 4 relievers into a game. Your starter pitches 3 1/3. You've got Brian Hudson pitching 2 innings a game. The Brewers they keep doing it with pitching and defense, which isn't, like I said, the stats don't jump off the page unless
sure.
you really like to do deep dives on analytical stats and, you know, wins above replacement, which is, just a kind of an average of, like, how many games better is having this player than the average player? Brewers have a lot of guys, Joey Ortiz, Bryce Turang, Christian Yelich, Willem Contreras, who have a really high war, like wins above replacement thing. But
sure.
it doesn't translate to – they're not going to have a guy hitting 50 home runs this year. They're not going to have a reliever like Devin Williams or Josh Hader that's going to be an all-star, although Trevor McGill, in absence of them, has been – probably the best closer in baseball. He's got 10 out of the last 11 saves. He's been really, really good. But they are, like I said, they're not going to have a number that really sticks out. They just
sure.
have everybody on the team seems to step up when asked and do the right thing and win. Because they had 2 game-winning, back-to-back game-winning defensive plays. Both made SportsCenter
sure.
top 10. One was a game throwing out a guy at home. The next day, Sal Frelick jumped up a wall. And he's 5'10". You know, he jumped up the wall, saved the game with a game-winning home run, or saved a game-winning home run.
So who's the best team in the National League right now?
It's Phillies.
Okay.
And then followed by the Dodgers, followed by the Brewers.
Nice.
It's, yeah, they are, so which leads you into, they could really afford, because if their prime is now, somehow, this was supposed to be a down year, they're still in their prime as a franchise. They've got a more young, like AA, AAA talent that's young and, you know, close to the league, couple of year or two away.
Right.
Than anybody in baseball.
Okay.
They also spend about as little money as anybody in baseball.
Yeah, right.
They're kind of in the middle anymore because they've had to sign some, you know, their talent.
Sure.
Getting a guy like Yelich and Contreras. And so they've got room to spend some money.
Okay.
They've got a depth. They've got young guys who are, Garrett Mitchell was a first-round pick who's played like 26 games in the last 2 years because he's had rando injuries.
Sure.
He's lighting it up in AAA. He's hitting home runs. He's ready to – he's looks like he could be a guy, but again, he's 26 years old and has spent the last 2 years not playing. Tyler Black is one of the best hitting prospects in the minors.
Okay.
He got called up. So they've got this. They've got talent. They have the ability to make a trade. And the Brewers have in their past traded for Zach Greinke.
Sure.
And it's paid off. They've traded for CC Sabathia, and it's paid off. They've also made trades that have been awful, and it has not worked out. So it makes you kind of nervous to trade away real talent for a lottery ticket. Because once in a while you win the lottery, you know, like CC
right.
Sabathia finished the top three in the Cy Young in the National League and the American League when he got traded to the Brewers. He was amazing. He had 15 starts, and all 15 of them were like gems.
Sure.
Zach Greinke played for 2 years as one of the best pitchers in the National League when he came to Milwaukee. They traded quite a bit of stuff to get him, so it worked out. But man, I would love to see a big old Brewers trade. I don't have the names in front of me.
Sure.
Like I said, next week we can, if they make these trades, because really it could be, you got to look at who's got an expiring contract, who might be, the Brewers are a team that might want to keep a guy for a couple of years.
Right.
But if they could, they are a dominant starting pitcher away from being a championship level team instead of just a division winning team, because they're clearly going to win the division. There's nothing,
right?
There's nothing coming in the NL Central at this point.
How about the American League?
Yankees
looks like they're pretty much tops right now.
Yes, the Yankees are still the best.
Guardians are top of the Central.
Yeah, they're hitting. Their hitting has been really good. The pitching for the Yankees has been great, but also they have in their lineup the two best hitters in baseball.
Sure.
That is really, really nice to have. If as good as the Dodgers have in lineup and depth and Shohei Ohtani and spent, you know, $300 million to upgrade their team, the Yankees have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, who are the unarguably two best hitters in all of baseball, and you've got them at number three and number four in your lineup. That is going to win you lots and lots of games.
Okay. Well, White Sox are still horrible.
Yes. Yeah. How are your Las Vegas A's doing?
Oh. 28-49.
Oh, so not great.
My Twins are doing better.
Are they
41-34?
All right, that's a playoff team.
They're over 500.
You're a playoff team. Like I said, if you can,
the Royals are ahead of them.
Hey, at this point in the season, if you're 7 games over 500 and you want to stay 7 games over 500, you'll be a playoff team. That's a 90-win team. That's typically going to be a playoff team. So we can get back on that. Let's take some bets. On
the Brewer Twin World Series.
Yeah, the most unwatchable World Series for the rest of the country.
Yeah,
I would watch every minute. I'd call into work for that.
Would you?
I mean,
no. Yeah, yeah.
I'd turn the TV on at work
or
for that.
Or to the radio?
Yes, 200%. Any other things that happen in the world of sports?
Well, whatever it is, it's got 45 seconds left.
Darn. Well, that's a good thing then that I have checked everything off the list, all 9 things were talked about.
Okay.
And we didn't even touch any NBA or NFL stuff. So, wow.
Yeah,
look at us.
NFL.
I just want to real quick say hi to my kids listening at home. They were sitting on the couch. They could not wait to holler and listen to me. So, hi, kids. Be good today. I really hope that happens for you. Thanks, WDRT, for letting us walk in here and do this. This has been a really, really fun show. It's going to stay nice outside, so go do something nice and summery. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Talk to you soon.